Hello, and welcome back to Bench to Bedside. I'm your host, Dr. Susan Firth, Executive Vice President and Chief Scientific Officer of the Research Institute. In this four-part series of our podcast, we're meeting the leaders of our Frontier programs, which launched in 2023. By investing in Frontier programs that bring the best minds to the most challenging childhood diseases, CHOP is once again redefining what's possible. My guest today is physician scientist Ted Leitch. Ted is co-leading the Center for Precision Medicine for High-Risk Pediatric Cancer, one of our newest CHOP Frontier programs. Welcome, Ted.
Well, thank you for having me, Sue.
So the title of the program is the Center for Precision Medicine for High-Risk Pediatric Cancer. Can you define precision medicine for our listeners?
Precision medicine is about using all of the available information about an individual patient, and in the case of cancer, their tumor, to best understand the diagnosis and the prognosis and the treatment for that patient. So we profile tumors in the case of cancer very deeply to understand the genetic changes that may have driven that cancer and what genes are expressed on that cancer to really understand best how to treat that individual patient.
And how is this change in how we approach and treat cancer, how is that benefiting patients?
Which is different than what we used to do before, where we would give chemotherapy directed at the type of tumor it was, so where the cancer started in the body. So a set of chemotherapy for leukemia, for example, a cancer of the blood, it was all very similar for all these patients. Now we are able to target that therapy more specifically to the individual patient. There's several ways that we think this is benefiting patients. The first is that for some patients, we're able to identify new targeted therapies that have fewer side effects than traditional chemotherapy. So if you think about traditional chemotherapy, it causes patients to lose their hair and for their blood counts to be very low and for their immune system to be very weak. We can use targeted therapies that block specific genetic changes in the cancer that are much more specific to that tumor type and don't cause many of these other side effects that we see with traditional chemotherapy. For some patients, it also helps us understand what their prognosis is, and maybe an individual patient's tumor is very likely to be cured with standard therapy, so we can actually reduce therapy for that patient to eliminate some of these long-term side effects. For other patients, it helps us understand their tumor may be more difficult to treat, and so we may increase therapy for those patients so that we can, again, target the therapy to the individual.
And are there differences in the way precision medicine is rolling out for children compared to adults?
One of the things we've learned over the last 20 years with sequencing cancer is that pediatric cancers are different than adults. Adult cancers are most commonly caused by things like smoking or exposure to the sun, and those tumors have many, many, many mutations across the tumor. Pediatric cancer is different in that it's almost always not caused by something that's in the environment and almost always caused by a different type of genetic change. And because of that, we're often able to identify more specifically the genetic driver of the cancer. In some cases, we think that precision medicine is more effective in pediatric patients because we're targeting the one and really the only change that led to their cancer.
This program is one of our Frontier programs, which we're very proud of here. How does this program reflect the evolving science and then how we can use novel approaches to diagnosis and treatment?
So the first part of that is around diagnosis. And one of the aspects that we're developing within our Frontier program is what we call a CLIA R&D research laboratory or sequencing laboratory. And this laboratory will be able to offer state-of-the-art testing for individual patients' tumors. And that can actually help define the diagnosis for some patients that may be hard to diagnose by traditional methods and can help us understand what treatments may be effective for those individual patients. We're also building a big database, what we call a multi-omic database, that will capture information about the patient and about their tumor and about the genetics of their cancer so that we can understand what those genetic changes mean and learn from each individual patient so that future patients can benefit from this therapy by understanding more and more about cancer. And then on the treatment side, we're developing clinical trials of these novel targeted therapies to see whether or not we can impact patients, and particularly focusing on now moving these therapies to the front line. Instead of focusing on patients whose cancer has not responded to other chemotherapy, now actually trying to replace chemotherapy or other treatments for these patients to limit side effects and reduce the long-term complications of cancer therapy.
You mentioned a few things. I just want to drill down. You said CLIA, R&D. So you and I probably use those terms, but just to explain that for folks, what that means and how important that is.
So thank you for asking. CLIA is a paradigm in which laboratories are certified to be able to give results back for clinical care. And it's a set of standards that indicate that the lab has done everything to ensure that the results are being returned in an accurate and scientific way about the specific patient for whom you think it's being done. And so that allows us to use these results from this laboratory to impact patient care. And R&D is research and development. And so what we're doing is actually combining this CLIA environment in which we can return results to patients with research and development so that we can develop labs and assays more quickly. It allows us to develop new tests very rapidly and deploy them as soon as they're validated within that CLIA standard. And then when those are successful in that laboratory, they can eventually be moved to the main hospital laboratory where they're offered as a routine clinical test, but allows us to accelerate that progress and that science to get these tests to patients more quickly.
I think for patient care, it's really, really wonderful. Can you tell us what you mean when you say omics, an omics database?
Omics refers to big data. And so what we're talking about is capturing all of the different types of data that are available about a patient and their tumor and their treatment to best understand that patient's diagnosis and prognosis and inform future therapy. So in particular, with regards to cancer, we want to understand what the patient's genetics are, what the patient has experienced in the past. We want to understand what the tumor looks like under the microscope, the histology of their tumor, the genetics of their tumor, so that we understand what genetic changes are there, what proteins are expressed on their tumor, what proteins are being made by the tumor that might be targeted by the immune system, what their tumor looks like on imaging so that we can best understand where the tumor is and how it's responding to therapy, their treatments, and then their outcomes. We want to put all of that data together in a database so that we can use all of these tools that we have now available in 2023 to best understand the patient's tumors, using things like artificial intelligence to understand how the imaging might predict outcome, things that we haven't been able to do in the past because we've lacked the data. Putting all this together through our Frontier program and the sharing of data across the institution, I think will inform the next generation of cancer care.
This is truly transformative in terms of using big data to find the unique signature of each patient's disease, which I think is the fundamentals of precision medicine. Can you describe CHOP's history in precision medicine and how things have changed?
Just thinking back globally about the history of precision medicine, it's been remarkable progress over the last 20 years. If you think about it, about 20 years ago, the first patient had their genome sequenced at a cost of billions of dollars. And today we can do that for an individual patient within just a couple of weeks and get those results back to inform their care. So remarkable progress. I think one of the key early examples at CHOP was the study of ALK in neuroblastoma. This is a gene that one of my colleagues, Dr. Mose, and her mentor, Dr. Maris, found in their laboratory that was changed in some patients with neuroblastoma. She conducted a clinical trial looking at an inhibitor of this protein across patients with neuroblastoma, but across patients with other diseases as well, and found that this class of drugs was very effective for patients with all of these different types of tumors that share a common mutated pathway. And I think that's one of the other things that we've learned over the last 20 years in precision medicine, is that these medications can break the sort of traditional therapeutic boundaries that we've had where we're treating a specific tumor type. Now we can treat a large number of different tumors that have the same type of mutation with the same drug, even though they may have started in very different parts of the body.
You've given a great overview of the science and how the science has changed our ability to diagnose and treat. Now, if we look from the patient end of the spectrum, you describe this program as a one-stop clinic. I imagine as a parent, I would be very happy with a one-stop clinic. Can you tell us what that means?
I think this is really about all of the collaborators that we work with as part of this program. I'm fortunate to get to be here today, but this is a program led by many different individuals, many scientists, physicians, and it's about being able to bring all of those forces to bear for an individual patient so that when a patient comes, if they need to see an oncologist, but they may also need to see a surgeon or a radiation oncologist, and then there's a whole group of people in the back end that are also critical to this. There's the molecular pathologists and the pathologists that do the sequencing, do the profiling that we've been talking about. We're able to discuss together patients at our weekly meetings, talk about how to best interpret those results and how they can inform the patient's care.
It really does take a village. You're also taking care of patients at the clinical end of the spectrum. Were there things that happened that made you want to do this kind of work?
One of the first children I treated with precision medicine was actually my first year of fellowship when I trained here at CHOP. And it was right when precision medicine was very beginning and there was a new medication that could treat some forms of leukemia that had a specific genetic mutation. And one of the first patients that I was taking care of was a teenager who had leukemia that had this mutation. And in the past, we knew that these types of leukemia were very difficult to treat and that we would give those patients the most intense chemotherapy we had, followed by a bone marrow transplant, and still the majority of those patients would die of their cancer. But with this patient, we enrolled her on a clinical trial that was the chemotherapy plus this new medication and skipped the bone marrow transplant. And it was remarkable the progress that we saw with that therapy. More than half of those patients, including mine, were cured by this therapy and didn't actually need to go through the very intense chemotherapy with many side effects that occur with a stem cell transplant. One of the first examples I saw where I could see the broader application of this was another patient who I treated who had a refractory sarcoma. So sarcomas are soft tissue tumors. She had a tumor that started in the back of her abdomen and behind her stomach and was refractory to chemotherapy. And this was at the very beginning of when we could do sequencing of individual tumors. At that time, it was thought to be the last-ditch effort. We sent her tumor for sequencing and identified a new mutation called an NTRK fusion. And there just happened to be a brand new clinical trial that was opening of an NTRK inhibitor. And she was the second patient in the world to enroll in this clinical trial. And when she enrolled, 2 weeks later, she came back and her pain from her cancer was gone. And on her scan a month later, the tumors had nearly completely resolved. And she's now 8 years out from that therapy and doing well off in college, having grown up on this new medication that she's a pill that she takes twice a day and has no evidence of cancer any longer. And what we've learned from that therapy that I've been fortunate enough to help develop over time in children is that it can be effective for not just that type of sarcoma, but other cancers as well, brain tumors, kidney cancers in children, sarcomas in children, but also lung cancer in adults and colon cancer in adults if they have the same genetic mutation. And that's really sort of shown me that even though that individual cancer is very rare, these therapies can have a broader application across many different tumor types.
That must have felt like a miracle for that patient and family. That's inspirational.
Yeah, it was amazing to be able to be part of that.
You mentioned that you trained here and then you worked elsewhere as a faculty member and then you came back to CHOP, so essentially full circle.
What brought me back were my colleagues. As I mentioned, this frontier program wouldn't be possible, I think, at many other hospitals. And it really is because of this collaboration with all of these individuals who are leaders in each of their specific fields. So the sequencing lab here that sequenced thousands of pediatric tumors, the big data infrastructure that we have at CHOP, the pathology infrastructure, the surgical expertise, the radiation oncology expertise, all of those groups working together make this program unique here. And what I've seen change over time is increasing use of precision medicine. Today, it's standard of care for the majority of our patients. It's remarkable how much this has changed our ability to treat patients over the last 8 to 10 years.
So with launching this Frontier program, what do you hope to accomplish in 1 year and then in 5 years?
So in the next year, I hope to get this CLIA research and development lab operational so we're able to start returning results from some of the tests that have been developed. We've looked at liquid biopsies for pediatric patients and novel sequencing assays in the single cell center. And we hope to be able to launch some of those tests for clinical use within the next year within this research and development lab. And we also hope to open additional clinical trials to provide more treatment options for patients. Actually, many of them in collaboration with the Thyroid Frontier Program, focusing on new treatments for children with thyroid cancer. And then in the five-year timeframe, I really hope to see the benefit of this multi-omics database to learn from our patients that we're treating today to inform the care and inform the clinical trials that we're able to offer in the future.
That's great. So what excites you the most about this program?
Personally, it's the opportunity to work with all these wonderful colleagues and work with the patients. It's really the patients that drive me and being able to see patients that we can help today that 5 or 10 years ago we would not have been able to help in the same way. I think scientifically, it's this ability to capture all of the data. We're on sort of phase one of precision medicine where we can identify an individual mutation in your tumor and treat you based on that. But I think phase two is capturing multi-omic data, many different types of data about you and your tumor, including the mutations, and leveraging all that information to further tailor that therapy. And I think that's where we're going over the next 5 to 10 years and what I'm really excited about.
That's great. And you've mentioned a few times the team and the collaborative group. What's the secret sauce?
I think it's really the investment by the institution in efforts such as these frontier programs, recognizing that there's a very thin edge between, you know, cutting edge research and cutting edge clinical care, and that those two go hand in hand, and that we need those to go hand in hand.
Yeah, I think that is really key. Well, this has been a great conversation. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
For more stories about the people of the Research Institute and the incredible work that they're doing, visit our blog, Cornerstone, at research.chop.edu/cornerstone-blog. Thanks very much.